M32. Number 2A.
We come to the definition of the level of Christian Science, and we want to discuss what is the tonality of that level, when do we need that level, what is the application of that level, what would you say, how we could define Christian Science?
If the divine to the human.
It's
the relationship between truth and error.
It's the relationship between truth and error. So you see again, it is a relationship, but a different kind of relationship. So it is the relationship between the opposites. So whenever, as you say, we have a problem that concerns how the divine and the material, or the truth and error, life and death, spirit and matter, when opposites are under consideration and we should see the relationship between them or the mechanism that operates between them, especially for the resolving of the opposite, then we are thinking in the realm of Christian Science. How else could we explain Christian Science level? Just with other terms, bringing out the same thing. Yeah, Dick?
In which form does it come to the human?
In which form does it come? Yes. And in which form does it come to the human? Yeah. As what?
Truth resolving error.
Yeah. What do we call that? Healing, huh?
Oh, yeah, healing.
Healing, one, huh? Reformation. One is another one, huh? What else? Improvement comes as improvement of the human. Yes.
Illumination.
Exactly. Yes. So it is all those forms that really make Christian Science practical to the human. Here now we have really the relationship of the divine to the human for the first time. And so with Christian Science we solve problem. It's the problem solving, the negative problem solving science, which brings healing, which brings regeneration, which brings transformation, enlightenment, salvation, reconciliation, improvement, development, success in the human, and so on. So this is the great point here of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy herself has a few of these renderings. She says Christian Science is science as applied to humanity. See, all the other levels are no application to humanity. Is that clear now? That they have quite a different field of application. If we talk about application, they have a different field of application than Christian Science, which has the application to the human. Or Mrs. Eddy explains that it is the application of Christ's science in human experience, again the human. She says it's the absolute truth made practical and proved efficacious. No, she doesn't say that. That's Mr. Dorley who said that. yes, so I think in this way we have more or less pinpointed the different aspects of these four levels. And now we go and try and see if we really have understood that, if we have a feel for that, and we are going to make a few exercises on these four levels. So, you take perhaps first that study material that I have handed out, page 1. Those two pages are not exactly similar, though on first sight perhaps they look the same, but they are not. So be sure that you take page 1. Yes? And on page one, you see that there are various columns, and there are columns for the four levels, for science itself, on the left-hand side, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. And then there are those empty boxes, which we are going to fill out. I didn't fill it out for you, because we want to think it out ourselves, and hopefully make a lot of mistakes, because only through the mistakes one really can pinpoint where the difficulty lies, and in this way get the subject much clearer. Therefore, the very first column, right down, vertical, we put into the level of science itself, principle. So you write there, principle, and then we will, principle.
Okay, principle in this first...
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So, if we take the subject of principle itself, which is actually the tonality of the level of science itself, where principle is its own infinite principle, and therefore principle is conscious of itself as principle, therefore the only relationship there is actually the relationship to itself, we now can say, well, how does that concept translate itself to the level of divine science? So we have to stay with that category of principle, which shows that it is related to itself, and now say, now how does that appear on the level of divine science? What would you see there? How does it translate itself? Principle and idea is one, huh? So, you remember? Alright, write first, principle and idea is one. Huh?
Capitalized one?
No, small one.
And this one is God.
And this one is principle, yes? Mm-hmm. Yes. But you don't need to say that because it's quite enough, huh? Because it's a translated form of God, huh? From the level of science itself. Now, instead of just writing it down and then learning it by heart, we have to understand it. What did we say, what we have on the level of science itself? Do we have there the synonymous term and the ideas? No. Huh? Only the synonymous terms. Huh? For principle alone. Huh? But we said, when we come to divine science, we did have what? You stay with principle here, huh? I have to stay with the category, huh? Yes, you introduce to the synonymous term the term ideas, huh? Do you remember? I mean, did it just the hour before, huh? That we suddenly saw, now we have to see that you introduce idea. But to see that idea and the synonymous term is always considered as being one. But you introduce idea. So principle here is now principle and idea being principle, huh? Being one. So already you have you get the realm sense already. Now if you go further in that relationship, and you come to absolute Christian science, what do you get there? You stick to the category, huh? You have principle, then principle and idea as one, and now you come to absolute Christian science and the phenomena changes again, and it becomes...
Principle to idea.
Exactly. Relationship of principle to idea, or to ideas, huh? Yeah, so you put there relationship of principle to ideas. Yeah, just wait until you have written it. Yes. Then, if we translate that further to another plane, to the plane of Christian science, what kind of relationship do we get there?
Truth to error.
Truth to error, you can say. The relationship, yes, of truth to error, of ideas, because we are in the term of ideas, huh? It shouldn't leave really the category, huh? For it's a relationship of ideas to what?
Illusions.
Yes. So you have relationship of ideas to illusions. Okay, so you have those four boxes, and you can see now our cylinder. It has an identity, its principle here, and you will consider how does that principle look like if it is translated to other levels. Translated to the level of divine science, that principle says, I have an idea, but that idea is one with me. Translated to the level of absolute Christian science, that principle again says, within me is actually embraced all the relationships of principle to all ideas. And within me, all the relationships of principle to ideas are very clearly defined, are very clearly calculable, computable. And that principle says, if I translate myself even to another level, to the level of Christian science, I, principle, include also the relationship of what these ideas due to the counterfeit of ideas, to illusions. Yes? So actually you have one chain flowing right through, and therefore the beginning is principle, the ending is really the dissolution of illusions, and that all is within principle. So you can see that actually we never leave the identity called principle, but we just look at them from various levels, and then we see that within that principle is the infinite idea coexistent with principle, that within that principle and that coexistence of principle and idea there are infinitely calculable ideas and calculations of ideas, and that each calculation of ideas dissolves the wrong calculation, dissolves illusions. So you have a whole chain flowing right through. There is no break. So that one sees that they are not actually four absolutely separated categories, but that they flow into each other very naturally. Yes. Is it clear? Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Very clear. Edith, very clear.
Yeah. May I ask a question?
Sure.
If this goes on, in spite of matter,
yes,
which it does,
yes,
why do we have to do anything about it, other than just know it?
We don't have to do anything about it, but just to know it, be conscious of it. Yeah, we don't have to do something. It shows here very easily, shows very easily that principle is the only identity. And that principle itself has an infinite idea. And that principle itself, who has an infinite idea, knows the exact idea that is under consideration. That's absolute Christian science. And that principle that has a specific idea for a specific problem dissolves the illusion.
If we don't do anything about it, that'll happen anyway.
It happens anyway, but we are not experiencing it, because we don't let it in into our consciousness. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Actually, if you don't see it or know it, you experience it but are suffering, because you don't open up yourself for the truth, therefore you entertain the illusion, therefore that those illusions will give you suffering. So you are quite right that principle operates by itself. We don't have to make it operate. But if we flow with it, we are in the harmony of it. We are in unity, in oneness with the harmony of it. And if we are not flowing with it, we are against it. And that shows itself as disharmony, crisis, and so on. Yes. All right. Now let's take the next column and consider another category. And we put on science itself the infinite one, the one with capital O, the infinite one. We have said, when we are discussing what is the level of science itself, we said it's the one, the infinite one. So let's take the infinite one and see how that translates itself to divine science. What is the translated sense of the infinite one?
Oneness.
So you have oneness. That oneness is no more capitalized. It's a ness, it's a realm of that one, where everything is turned into one. Okay, now, how shall we look at that oneness if we look at it from the level of absolute Christian science? Therefore, you have to reason out now, what is oneness when you contemplate absolute Christian science, which has to do with the relationship of principle to ideas? What is that kind of oneness when a specific idea is one with principle?
Unifying.
It's unifying, it's unity, Yes. You can call it unity. See? Unity. Do you feel the difference between unity and oneness? You have a sense that oneness is all-inclusive, that everything is one. Whereas we speak of unity much more then when we consider how each part is one with its origin, with its principle. And we have a unity of principle and idea, and ideas. Or the unity that exists between all the ideas with principle. We wouldn't call that oneness. The utmost we would call it, we are one, it is one with, but not oneness. Yes. So that one with we usually call unity. Now, what would we get if we translate that to the level of Christian science? What do you think? We translate it to the level of Christian science. Now, don't think about all sorts of things. Just think very logically. How do you think logically? You first ask yourself, what is the key tone of Christian science? Your answer is that the key tone of Christian science is the relationship between the positive and negative. So that oneness must do something to the negative. What does it make with the negative?
I was going to say, idea destroys illusion.
Would that be a sense of oneness?
Well, you end up with ideas.
But that has nothing to... Has that anything to do with oneness or one or...
Okay.
You just end up... I mean, it does that, but not in this category. Yeah? What does it do to the human? Yeah?
Well, I was thinking duality then. Duality.
Yeah.
As opposed to unity. Because you're talking about...
Yeah, but we must have... But we must have something positive about it, what it makes with the negative, or we don't have a sense of oneness. Duality will just be the opposite of oneness. But what does it do to that duality? You see, it must do something to the opposite. Yeah?
Wholeness.
Wholeness?
Control. Whole again. Makes one.
Makes one. You see, It must be an activity that resolves the opposite. Must be an activity that shows how duality is being resolved. And the way it resolves dualistic or the separate, actually it's a separation sense, is that it makes one. That's the atoning. It atones. It makes one. Huh? That's the whole subject of the second chapter in the textbook of atonement. Well, how do we atone? See, atonement means we are not atoned. There must be a process of becoming one with God. Huh? So it translates itself to the point of making us one with God. So you can either write there, makes one, or atones. Huh? I don't know another term right away, but I think those two terms would indicate what happens there on the opposite level, huh? On the level of a suppositional opposite. It turns it into unity, into oneness with God. It atones. So you can write there, whatever you have written there, makes one or atones. Now, can you see the, say, the practical side of this exercise? At first, as we do it, it's just a mental exercise, an academical exercise. But naturally, always when one has done the letter, we ask for the spirit of it and for the practical application of it, what it is all about. So here, we can see this is a very big problem for all mankind, that everybody feels separate from God, not one with God. And therefore the whole subject of atonement has always been a big subject all through every religion and through Christian Science. Now, we can say, well, man must be one with God. Yes, all right, man must be one with God. But how can he be a must? Huh? From where does he take the must? Who has within itself everything that he can be one with God? From where does he get it? From where does he get the authority? From where does he get the power that he must be one with God, that he can do it? At the moment we always have these questions on the level of Christian Science, you can go back to the origin. You can go back to the cylinder. Say, what is the original identity? So whenever the question comes up that says, well, we must atone with God, we must be one with God, we must make ourselves one with God, make yourself one with mind, make yourself one with spirit, how on earth can I do it? From where do I get the authority? I get the authority from the level of science itself. By first being aware, see, that the fact of being is that the infinite one is actually the only one and only. I start there. I don't start with how do I get one with God and what effort shall I make to get one with God. So to say, pull up your socks and be now one with God. How can I do it? I can't. I go to the levels. I draw my authority, my power from the level of science itself and say, I can only become one with God at all because that fact exists already in being. What is that fact that already exists in being? It's that there is only the infinite one. There is only a one and the only. And because of that fact, there is in the whole of being in only the oneness of being. Everything, I come now to everything. See, to the all, everything is fundamentally already one in the oneness of being. And because everything is already one with the oneness of being, every idea and every situation is in unity with that principle. Everything. And therefore also I am one with God, and that atones me with God. I've brought it right down to me, to the fact, to the supposition that I may not be one with God. Yeah? Do you feel the power of these levels? That we always draw from the level of science, so to say, if you want to work out anything on the level of Christian Science. Whatever we want to work out on the lowest level, We must know first that they are a translated sense of the highest level of science itself, and therefore go out from science itself and reason and deduce from science itself to divine science, to absolute Christian science, to Christian science, and then we see the logic of it.